This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Congressman Mark Pocan is on the line with us. He'll be taking your calls for the hour. It's midday with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. His website, pocan.house.gov, and you can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, kind of the number one progressive in Congress here, and also represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin brilliantly. And Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Very glad to be here.
Thanks for being with us. We've already got a bunch of people on the line, you know, waiting to talk with you. Just real quickly, what's at the top of your agenda? What are you hearing out in the district? I'm guessing healthcare is a big deal.
Yeah, you know, I've been traveling the upper Midwest, helping out a lot of congressional candidates. And, you know, what we hear over and over again via both commercials and in articles is healthcare. You know, Republicans realize their tax bill is not working for them. Of course, I think they knew that. It was just for their donors anyway. But healthcare is really working against them. And the fact that people could lose access to coverage because of pre-existing conditions, every Republican from Scott Walker in Wisconsin running for governor to every congressional candidate across the country is all trying to lie about their record. And, you know, I think this is a good thing for us because healthcare is an issue that, as we know from the Reuters poll about a month ago now, 70% of the people support Medicare for All, including 52% of Republicans. So they're just in the wrong direction on healthcare, and that's the right direction for November 6th.
There you go. Let's pick up some phone calls here.
Sure,
Rob,
absolutely.
Hey, Rob in Durham, North Carolina. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding arms sales, and you know it's coming up with Saudi Arabia. But the money that is made from the arms sales, do they go to the manufacturers of the arms, or do they go to the American Treasury?
No, this is money that the manufacturers make, and I think what Donald Trump has hyperinflated, one is the amount of money that Saudi Arabia is going to spend on arms because he's including past, future, present money all included, and then he's hyperinflating the number of jobs connected to it. So this is money that would go to companies in the United States that do employ people. But then again, you know, here we have perhaps the Crown Prince lying to the entire world, including the United States, about what may have happened in Turkey, and the president just defends him without any regard for what the truth actually is.
Joy in Crescent City, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is regarding how do we get out of this mess? Robert Reich has proposed the idea of annulling this election if it can be definitively proved that Trump conspired with Russia to steal the election. And I'm just wondering if there's, if that's a possibility or if there are other things being considered. I think that we are in uncharted territory here, and I think we need to come up with creative solutions to fix this problem. And the problems are very deep. And I'm wondering what the congressman's take is on the annulment idea, or if there are other ideas that are being considered.
And if I may add to Joy's question, Congressman, what if Robert Mueller reports back after the election that, in fact, one of the reasons Donald Trump, in fact, the reason Donald Trump is in the White House right now is because a foreign country, specifically Russia, decided to intervene in our election? Thank you, Joy.
Yeah, so Joy and Tom, I mean, great question, and I don't know if I have the singular answer because, as you said, Joy, this is uncharted territory. What I do know is we're still waiting for the Mueller report. We don't know if the Mueller report will be as strong as to say something so explicitly. It may say lots of other things that they're looking at and they've come up with, and, you know, we still have all options on the table on how to deal with things. I think annulment is one of the more difficult. So I think, you know, what we're going to have to do is, one, remember elections have consequences. In less than 3 weeks is a very, very important election where we can flip the House of Representatives, maybe flip the Senate, maybe flip 10 governorships and a whole bunch of state legislatures, as well as attorney generals and others across the country. So we've got to be active around that. If we take the majority in the House, we will be able to do hearings on his taxes, on the emoluments clause, on all sorts of things, and finally get some answers where Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have been quite happy burying their head in the sand and not knowing what Donald Trump was actually up to. So there are lots of things we're going to be able to do should the election go well on November 6th. But right now, I think the focus has to be on let's make sure we all do everything we can to get out the vote for that election. And then we've got 2020 coming up at bare minimum to make sure that we can take back the White House. But we all have to be really present and active, and we'll definitely do our jobs in Congress, but we need everyone being present and active for November 6th.
John, in Poulsbo, Washington, if I'm saying that right, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello. I just have sort of a generic question on when Dems are going to start fighting fire with fire. They seem to want to play this touchy-feely game, and every time they do, the Republicans thumb their nose as they're doing an end run around the Democratic strategy. Time to wake up, I guess, is what I'm wanting to say. I'll get back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, John, so, you know, I think this has been a popular refrain that, quite honestly, has been overplayed, because in the past, I would say I've seen this all too often where I wish Democrats would be far more aggressive. But right now, we are watching us on generic ballot up double digits. We're doing something right, or maybe it's that they're doing something so wrong the public wants to change. But, you know, I've actually, for the first time since I've been in Congress, been happy with the message that we're going out talking about. We're talking about health care and the cost of prescription drugs. We're talking about good-paying jobs and the need for infrastructure. And we're talking about the culture of corruption in Washington. It's understandable. People can relate to it. And we have a message. And I don't think we're being too soft in how we do it. Now, I'll admit, Speaker Ryan, for example, his super PAC is probably the sleaziest PAC I have ever seen out there in how they run ads. But they're not also being effective in many of these districts. So, you know, they're going to do that. If they're fine with rolling around in the mud, they can. But they're not being effective, and we're up double digits, again, on generic ballots, and we're up in many of these races. So I think talking about health care, talking about those tax cuts they did, talking about the corruption in Washington and that no one in Congress is standing up to the president really is resonating. So, you know, I don't know if we need to say it pounding our fist on the table or saying it in a soft, confident voice, but either way, we're saying it, and I think that's quite an improvement from maybe some past cycles. So while I certainly agree your complaint, John, in the past has often been something I've also been concerned about, right now I actually feel that we're doing some very right things going into November 6th.
Al in Missoula, Montana, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I thought there's something that you'd like to hear, at least be aware of. I'm a retired Vietnam vet, and previously we didn't have to pay for, under TRICARE, we didn't have to pay for our pharmaceuticals. And since Trump has come into office, they've stolen that away from us now to where we even have to pay a copayment now for our prescriptions and stuff. And it's just another way that the Republicans keep stealing. And we paid some pretty hard dues for those benefits, and that's something that should be brought out to the public. They're doing things that the media and nobody else is even aware of. They're stealing our benefits left and right.
Yeah, Al,
it was a Senate bill, and I can't remember the number that was on it. It took me 3 days on the phone to try and track it all down because I started getting this bill all of a sudden. And so they are constantly, which you guys are both aware of, they're constantly stealing benefits that we paid highly for.
Yeah, Al, so let me address it in two ways. One, you're right. We put a lot of money into defense, most of it going to private contractors that also happen to help out mightily on campaigns, and not enough into the people who actually have fought for the country and defended this country. And, you know, here's a good example you're giving of what's happening. But, you know, second, it really opens it up to a bigger, broader issue. The Republicans in Congress are simply unwilling and afraid to stand up to the pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, this is one of the major things we're talking about as Democrats across the country. You know, I think one of the most interesting statistics was between 2010 and 2016, the last time we did this statistic, there were something like 205 or 210 drugs approved by the FDA. every single one of them had research provided, help assistance provided by NIH money, National Institute of Health, which is our tax dollars. So every time we hear from these pharmaceutical companies that the drugs are so expensive and it's in going faster than the cost of other medical expenses is because of research and development, it's a complete lie. And, you know, the Trump administration, Republicans in Congress do very little to stand up to these companies. We will if we get the majority.
There you go. If we get the majority, we got to work on that. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back in just a moment with more of Middays with Mark.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Pocan's website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. You can find it online. And welcome back. Corky in Hilton, New York. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, Tom. Yeah, I want to talk to him about these arms sales to Saudi Arabia.
You're on with Congressman Pocan right now, Corky.
Yeah, well, this is stupid. You're going to do a deal with them to sell them arms. He just proved to you he's willing to kill Americans. I mean, what am I on the right planet?
Now, Corky, I'm with you. I hear what you're saying, and we've been saying this over the entire situation in Yemen as well, where there's a Saudi-led coalition, but it's largely Saudi Arabia that's been attacking a country that's probably the second worst humanitarian crisis outside of Syria on the planet. And we're actually helping with refueling, and we're helping with some ground advice and other things that there's a bipartisan coalition of us in Congress want to stop. And then you've got them doing this. You know, going all the way back to 9/11, most of the people who perpetrated 9/11 came from Saudi Arabia. And I think, you know, with this president in particular, he sees profit and money in Saudi Arabia for he and his family. And because of it, he is unwilling to take them on, even with a modicum of aggressiveness in trying to get the answers on this. So, the good news is many in Congress, in fact, even Lindsey Graham said something recently, and I know the week, you know, it always depends where Lindsey is lately on issues, but you're seeing even Republicans speak out about this. So I agree with you that we shouldn't be just allowing arms sales happen so freely to a country that we don't know if it's being truthful to us, that an American resident may have been killed, orchestrated by the Crown Prince, and let's definitely not forget about the situation in Yemen.
Laura in Santa Rosa, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, hi there. Hi, Pocan. Hi there, Tom. I'm just sitting here listening, and I'm thinking to myself, progressives, we must stop complaining about how the Democratic Party is fighting back. When you're not writing the rules and you have people who, I mean, right now, cheating does win. That's what Donald Trump has introduced to us. And so we really have to get a grip and just start working together and think about, just like Tom says, what can we do to make this better? Anyway, with that being said, I was going to talk about Social Security, but I think I want to share with you, Congressman Pocan, about voter suppression. Is there something in place to where, because we know that they're going to cheat, we know that. Do we have anything in place that will educate every voter about provisional ballots in their state, in their district, and exactly what they have to do to make sure their vote is counted, and to encourage everyone to follow up on that? If they cheat people out of voting and hand them that placebo ballot, and then they don't follow up on it because they're not aware, then it just...
Their vote doesn't get counted. Yeah, let's let... Yeah.
Exactly.
Congressman?
Yeah, Laura, a great point. And I think, you know, hopefully the media would take that up, although we found that doesn't normally happen, the mainstream media taking up the issue to educate voters about their rights. But I think, you know, what you're going to find especially is if we know many areas, like right now Georgia, and we're watching in North Dakota and some other areas where you're seeing some actual suppression happening at the moment, we just have to make sure when there's a close race, we have everyone on the ground informing people to make sure that we can get those votes counted.
Yeah, amen. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark on the Tom Hartman Program. It's coming up on 21 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back with more of your calls for the Congressman. Welcome back. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. Lowell in Salem, Oregon. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Congressman and Tom. I just wanted to let you know that I'm on the Oregon State Central Committee for the Democratic Party, and we put on every year repeal of Taft-Hartley as one of the priorities. How do we get that to be a priority in Congress when it appears that when we do get a majority, we don't do this? So how can we get the Democrats to repeal Taft-Hartley and make that as a priority?
Yeah, so I tell you, let me take it to a 30,000-foot level on any issue, because there are some things we're running on right now. We talked about health care, good-paying jobs, the culture of corruption. We know we have to deal with immigration and climate change and other issues that are important. So you're competing with a lot of different issues. I think the single best way is to find those groups, especially the national groups, that do advocacy and try to partner with them to try to help put that on their agenda and try to get it to be driven with some people power, because there's going to be a lot of competing interests. We have not been in the majority for a very long time. You know, H.R. 1 hopefully will be a bill that deals with election reform, ethics, and campaign finance. But there's going to be a lot of priorities happening all at once, and you're going to need to get your members of Congress in Oregon to try to, you know, help convince others why it's important too. But it's going to take a lot of grassroots work to do that, which is part of why the Progressive Caucus just put together, you know, our 501c3 arm of our caucus, doing just that, working with the outside groups to help come up with some of the white papers and ideas that are out there into legislation, working with the grassroots to contact members of Congress around the country. But this is a time where we need to work together with all the national groups out there, Indivisible, Move On, DFA, PCCC, and so many others, Public Citizen, et cetera, and really make sure we're doing the advocacy, continue what we've done in the election after the election to get things done.
Jay in Braddock Heights, Maryland. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I wanted to give the congressman a chance to make a pitch to voters like me. I'm an older, I'll be 60 years old pretty soon. I've been voting Democratic my whole life, and I'm on the progressive side of the spectrum. But in the last couple of years, I've pretty much given up on the Democrats and decided no longer to go out and vote for them. And I think the lesser of two evil strategies at this point is pretty clearly and empirically an evil, is what you end up with. And it, as you explained to me why I should go out and vote, I think the only thing that would really make a difference to me is if you could give me an example of the Democratic Party standing up to something like excessive military spending, for-profit medicine, breaking up the banks and regulating the financial industry, or serious environmental protections, or infrastructure investment in living wage and supporting unions. I don't see the party as able to really, in a meaningful way, stand up against their donors. And that's the dynamic I see, and I don't think I can any longer support the party. So I'll give you an opportunity to encourage me to change my mind in a few weeks. Thank you.
Yeah, Jay, first of all, nothing would make the Republican Party happier than to hear you do what you said you're thinking about doing, which is not participating, because they put a lot of money into this narrative out there that, you know, your vote doesn't matter, because they know their base will get out no matter what. And if our base doesn't, because people agree with us on the issues, then they can still win. They've got the big money to put that out there. So first of all, remember, that's exactly what they're hoping to do, and I hope that you don't take the bait that they put out there. I would argue, you know, one of the interesting developments ever since Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, and Bernie deserves an enormous amount of credit for this, is we've learned our campaigns are not fueled by big special interest donations anymore. They're fueled by small dollar donations. Beto O'Rourke doesn't take any PAC money whatsoever and raised $38 million last quarter down running in Texas. And that wasn't from a bunch of big donors. That was from a bunch of small donations. So already that narrative has changed significantly. And again, I give a complete credit to Bernie Sanders for proving that through his presidential campaign. But the issues we're talking about, Democrats are talking about a $1 trillion investment in infrastructure. We're talking about taking on the pharmaceutical companies and getting people, we have to shore up what got taken away on the Affordable Care Act. And many of us are advocating for going for Medicare for All. Over 120 of us in the House alone are sponsors of a bill to do just that. So you know, there's a lot of misinformation because they want people like you to think there is no difference between the parties and that nothing will happen.
You're
so if you
to
stay
the Tom
home,
Hartman
you'll
program.
Accomplish
Call
exactly
202-808-9925.
Sorry, Congressman, we got stepped on there.
Oh, no worries.
We'll be right back with Congressman Mark Pocan right after this break here at the bottom of the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us. It's Middays with Mark. He's taking your calls for the hour. Sarah in Tarzana, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, good. I'm glad I got on. This morning I was listening to your predecessor here in L.A., Stephanie Miller, and one of the main conversations was all the people who've been saying what I've been saying for months, we need Trump amendments if you guys get the Congress back. We need to put some ironclad laws in that would say quite plainly that you have to be as clear and transparent as the L.A. skyline after Santa Ana's cleared our air. And that's that I don't want Trump to be able to obfuscate. And, I mean, I've known who he was since 1968 when he made it really difficult for L.A. Unified to build a badly needed school on the Ambassador Hotel site. So I've known he's a no-good nick for forever. But I would like to see some measures saying, okay, you want to run for president or governor or senator or congressman or, you know, any other. You want to be on the cabinet. You had better be able to produce your tax returns, your college transcripts. There should be a civil service exam for anybody who runs for that kind of high office. I want to make sure we never get a jerk like Trump anywhere near the White House again, not even as a visitor. And I'd like to know what the Democrats, assuming you can at least take the House back and, God willing, the Senate, what you guys could do to make sure that something like this happens and protect our vote.
Yeah, great question, Sarah. And, you know, I think one of the things I've mentioned, John Sarbanes from Maryland is leading a task force. I'm one of the vice chairs, along with a lot of other folks, actually, trying to address, it's essentially a good government task force, addressing everything from elections reform to campaign finance reform to ethics reform. And we want that to be H.R. 1, that means the very first bill that Democrats introduce in the House of Representatives, would be a bill to address all of that. We want to start the hearings on the tax returns and on the Emoluments Clause to get to the bottom of all the corruption, really, that's happening with this current administration. So there's a lot that we can do, and we are very committed to it because, you know, I think for many of us, we thought the Emoluments Clause was pretty self-explanatory. It took this president to make it somehow confused, and now we've got to get there and clear that up. On the taxes, too, every president's always released them. This is the first one not to. I guess we have to clear it up. But Democrats are committed to do that, and, again, many of us are advocating this to be the very first bill introduced in Congress next session.
Charlotte in Ramona, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom and Congressman. I'm calling to ask you a question about I am mostly on the progressive side, but I'm confused. What is the position that the progressives take on the issue of immigration, such as what to do with the children that are coming up unaccompanied from the South, what to do about the Middle East refugees? What is your policy? If the progressives could get what they want, I'd like to know what that would be.
Sure. So, Charlotte, I think what we've been advocating for is really what work was kind of done two sessions ago, and while it wasn't perfect, it was about 100% better than where we're at right now, which was comprehensive immigration reform. That means there's going to be some extra protections at the borders, but there's also going to be a pathway to citizenship for aspiring Americans. We have to recognize we already have probably about 13 million people here who are here undocumented. It's not realistic to think that someone who came here when they were 2 weeks old or 2 years old is going to be deported at age 20 or 40 to a country they may not speak the language in and they may not know anyone there. So we have to have something in place, and it's not an automatic. There's a process to do that. A bill went through the Senate with, I think, about 70 votes two sessions ago and didn't get taken up by the Republican leadership in the House of Representatives. It was a bipartisan compromise. Didn't go as far as I would have liked to have gone in some areas, but realistically, that is the approach we have to do. Right now, family separation, DACA. I mean, all these are separate fights we're having that we shouldn't. We should have a comprehensive immigration reform, and I think that's the path that we would try to bring forward, again, should we be in the majority.
Bill in Sun City, Arizona, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom and Congressman. Good morning and afternoon. I have two real quick questions. The first is habeas corpus still under suspension, as it was with George W. Bush? And how do you like working with our Kristen Sinema? I'll listen online. Thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of attacks, period, right now with this president, more so than even in the past. But I think, you know, basically, we have protections in this country. Our problem is when the White House is doing some of the things they're doing that, you know, emoluments clause actions, not showing tax returns, things that we always took as norms, we have to fix some of that. So if we take the majority in the House, that's one thing, but do we have the majority in the Senate? It's another thing. We still have Donald Trump as president. There's going to be a process to getting us back to where I think many of us would be comfortable, Bill. Second question, Kyrsten Sinema, I think, has a great chance of winning the Senate seat. She came in my class. She is a very smart person. I have known her since before she was in Congress. She was a very strong progressive legislator in Arizona. I know she's moderated a little more when she got to Congress, but she is a very, very, I'd almost use the word whip smart, which I don't usually use, person. She's got a great wit, and I think when she gets to the Senate, she will be a strong voice, and certainly flipping that seat in Arizona is really important to everyone in the country.
Greg in Richmond, Kentucky, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Greg?
Yes, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Congressman. I'm calling today. I make every attempt to speak to my friends who are Republican and have open, honest, and meaningful conversations with them about issues that affect them. And what I'm learning is they themselves really are not that well informed about the issues and what's going on in Congress. I focused on the three biggies, as I call them, health care, Social Security, and Medicare. And I'm surprised at how little they know, but of course the majority of them are listening to Fox News, and I'm not saying that other corporate media outlets are much better. But what I'm calling today is to suggest that the DCCC consider making some changes and maybe a new course for strategy. Number one, maybe they could start year-round education efforts, maybe have TV commercials year-round, even in non-federal election years, voter registration drives year-round, focusing on new voters, and using technology to keep the existing Democrats and independents that follow them in the loop on what's going on today or what's coming up next month, and potentially having a sort of DCCC national website. So if they did have commercials talking about these issues, what's going to affect the voters, they would have a source that they could go to and get more information. Thank you.
Yeah, Greg, so two things. First of all, I think you make up a really strong point. I think what I would argue is really that probably is the work of the DNC, since they have the connection to the Democratic parties throughout the country. The DCCC is kind of the arm of the congressional campaign, the Democratic congressional members. It's the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, and they have resources to really spike more at election time. But the DNC, hopefully, is that ongoing presence, and I think under Tom Perez and Keith Ellison, they've tried to do more of that. But I completely agree with you. You can't just have a conversation before the election. You have to have it ongoing. Second, if I can, Tom, because I think this brings up a point that you and I have talked about a lot, too, and it relates to a question that Jay from Maryland asked before the break, which is Social Security. You know, if you want to talk to these folks, and you're right, they're not getting the news from Fox. They're not getting it from the president. He tells everyone's got fake news. You have to just trust him. But Mitch McConnell, just yesterday, when asked about the debt, raised the issue of, yes, it's being driven by Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So even though they just added $2 trillion to the debt with their tax bill, taking care of corporations and the wealthiest people in this country, 83% of that money is going to go to the top 1% in a decade, they went back going after what we all benefit from, and we've paid into Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. So I think that's a great example. Mitch McConnell bringing it up 3 weeks before the election as the answer to the debt tells us exactly where they want to go. And if people are concerned about a Social Security or Medicare, they better be concerned about the elections and what the Republicans could do.
Mark in Chicago. Mark, we're going to hit a hard break in a little over a minute. So quick question for Congressman Pocan.
Yes. Hi, Tom. Hi, Congressman. I'm a millennial, and I think we've all seen all the polls of, you know, all the demographics who are likely to vote next month. And for millennials and young people, it seems like the numbers are somewhere in the 20s. And I'm very concerned about that. And it's not just polling. I've seen it anecdotally with my friends here in Chicago and Illinois who do not plan to vote.
So is your question, what can we do to get millennials voting?
Exactly. How do we motivate and energize young people to vote next month?
Congressman? I would think education would be big on that.
Great question, and you're right. You're most likely to vote based on your age. That's the biggest determining factor. But we know that millennials are more progressive, and they're going to vote for the right people if we can get them out to vote. So I spent an hour this morning just talking about this in Wisconsin, how to get college campuses. It's really about talking to millennials about the issues they care about, and those necessarily aren't always the same issues as others, but it means talking to and listening to them.
Amen. And I would think free college would help. Wouldn't it?
I think the debt-free college proposals are really strong. I think talking about things like discrimination, I mean, they're very quality-based. There's a lot of issues that are important.
There you go.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Congressman Pocan's website, Pocan.House.gov. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And welcome back. Mary in Las Vegas watching Free Speech TV. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Congressman. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah, I saw McConnell on TV yesterday. Scares the bejesus out of me because Social Security is all I live on. And I don't think that some of the older people are hearing this. I don't think they realize what they are going to do to harm them. And the other comment is this mob talk that he keeps trumpeting at his campaigns. We need like a commercial out there showing that the real mob is at these campaigns with the lock 'em up and all of that. But why I really called was to add to your response to that gentleman who felt like he needed a reason to continue to vote for the Democrats, and you gave him real good answers. But I think he was looking like, what did we ever do? And I think all that man has to look at is every executive order that Trump has put out were all Obama policies, President Obama's policies for climate change, consumer protections in the financial industry. There have been so many things that he was doing good for the people. The Affordable Care Act, they just didn't want to, it was starting to level, and they didn't do the Medicaid expansion. And they've done everything to destroy it. And those are all things that the Democratic Party tried to do to help the people that the GOP is just, you know, just turning everything around.
Yeah, Mary, thank you. And I think those are great points. I think the other thing I'd add is I've been in Congress now. This is my 6th year. Just my class and the last 2 classes in the House Democratic Caucus are a majority of the Democratic Caucus. We've had a lot of turnover of folks. And a lot of those of us who are there now, especially in the Progressive Caucus, myself, Pramila Jayapal from Washington, Ro Khanna from California, Jamie Raskin from Maryland, Adriana Espalat from New York, I could go down the list. A lot of brand new members have a lot of new energy have brought to progressive ideas and trying to enact those in the Democratic Caucus. So, you know, really we have a lot of potential to get these things done, and specifically, Mary, you're right on Social Security. This weekend, I helped move my mother into assisted living. She lives on Social Security alone, and you know, the fight that we have on that issue alone should be enough to get us the majority, but we've got to make sure people understand. Paul Ryan, 8 days after the tax cut bill for the wealthiest, said we have to go after entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and now 3 weeks before the election, Mitch McConnell is saying it. This is in their DNA. This is their number 2 goal after the tax cuts that they did pass, and this is what they'll do if they're still in charge.
Congressman, we just have 40 seconds till we're going to hit the break. How do you expect this to play out? I know in the past they've always tried to get Democrats to basically take the fall, you know, trying to talk Obama into the chain CPI and talk Bill Clinton into ending welfare as we know it. You know, the old two Santa Claus theory from Jude Winansky from 1976. Yeah. How do you expect this to play out?
Well, I think that's part of the reason why the Progressive Caucus, I've spent the last 2 years building this inside-outside organization to work much more closely with all the grassroots groups, because we want to be able to not only have the best ideas, but then have the best activism to get them to happen. You know, let's face it, there are a number of people in my caucus who prefer to spend their life in the corner of a room rocking in the fetal position. We need to actually do some action. And by doing what we're doing, hopefully we can activate people to get things done.
There you go. There's a slogan for you. No more fetal position.
There you go.
Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls for the congressman right after this. You can find his website at pocan.house.gov, and you can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. Pocan with us taking your calls for the hour. Laura in Hazel Park, Michigan. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Good afternoon. Hello, Congressman Pocan. I'm calling because I'm currently in a Twitter war with someone who he was referring to as far as Mitch McConnell coming out yesterday and using the debt as a way to cut Social Security and Medicare. They're in such a bubble that you cannot get them to even discuss it. We're fake news. You're lying. Trump doesn't lie. When you point out the facts to them, they don't want to even consider another viewpoint. So how are you going to get through to the seniors who consistently will ignore all the attacks on Social Security? They're not lying about it anymore. They're open about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like, how do you deprogram people out of the cult of Fox News? Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, so sorry about that. My phone just went off. I'm sorry. I was talking here. So, Laura, you bring up a great point, and I think, you know, there are some that we're not going to change, right? I mean, the 35% that are sticking with Trump hard and fast are there for maybe some other reasons than they actually admit. But I do think most seniors, especially, you know, I've watched in the last 5 years, first we moved my mom to some senior housing, now to assisted living. I look at the people who are living there. You get to know the neighbors. And there's so many people that rely on Social Security. Without it, they wouldn't be able to live. And I think you can actually point out the fact that the Republican leadership has said this thing each time after they've passed a tax cut bill that's going to benefit big corporations and the top 1%, 83% of the money that was in that tax bill goes to the top 1% in 10 years, and then they're going after your Social Security to pay for it and your Medicare. And I think we can get to people on their pocketbook issues, especially seniors who just rely for their life and death on whether or not they have that money. I think we can really have a conversation with those who don't have a different reason for wanting to vote for Trump. And you know, in some cases, there's things like racism and others that are just tougher to break through.
Rob in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, oh, pleasure to talk to you. Hey, I wanted to talk about the DCCC strategy here, and I think what's happening with our party is we get kind of into the weeds on stuff that only affects a very few people. And I think one thing that we should do is basically promote the idea that the Republicans are the death by a thousand cuts on the middle class, and we need to fight this by tax reform. And we just use their philosophy. Since corporations are people, there should only be one tax code. Income is income. We should get rid of the 15% cap on dividends and just treat all income the same, because corporations are people, so therefore people are corporations. We should get the same deductions, or you should take the deductions away from the corporations and move that way. And the one thing about the taxes on Social Security, since that's capped on at $132,000 of income, that's 100%, 6.3. You want to give most of America a 5% raise right away. Take that cap off and make, again, tax the Social Security on all income all the way up, and don't cap it at 132. People get a 5% tax cut right there.
Yeah, right, Rob. So to the first issue, I agree there are many of us who, and many, I mean, quite a bit in the Democratic Party, who've advocated for changing that code on the passive income, so-called passive income versus active income. There shouldn't be that distinction, and I think that's something that we're going to be talking about. To the second point, I agree. I mean, it's really a regressive tax when you have a cap on Social Security at a certain point, and we're talking about how long does the fund have. The only difference I might say, Rob, is I don't think it's really going to be a cut for people. I think if you lifted the cap or adjusted the cap for inflation significantly, you will just extend the life of Social Security so that we don't have to have an increase. I don't think you'll see an immediate cut, but that's absolutely the reason to do it. We have to have Social Security around because everyone is paid into it. They have to be able to get it when they retire, and the best way to do that is to really look at that cap.
And it just seems kind of bizarre that, you know, I and most of the people I know are paying, Social Security taxes on all of our income, and, you know, billionaires are paying Social Security taxes on, you know, 1% of their income. I mean, it's like they're just... They're not paying their fair share to support Social Security, which is a program that keeps this country vital.
Yep, and there's a lot of ideas of how we could exactly do this, but I look at the cap as one of the single easiest ways, and I would also argue we should change the index for how we increase what people get in Social Security to a CPI-E, which is based on what seniors spend their money on.
Right.
25% of their income is on medicine and medical care. We should recognize that, and that way they would get a little bit more of a boost as well.
Congressman, we have 45 seconds to the end of the hour. What are your thoughts on the coming week?
You know, I'll tell you, we're now less than 3 weeks to the election. I think my thoughts for the next 3 weeks are going to be on the election, as are, I think, most people. I just really ask people to be active with the candidates you support and the groups that are supporting the candidates you support in the next 3 weeks. It's so vital. Every vote we get out, the majority of people agree with us on the issues. If they get out to vote, we will be very, very successful and be able to turn this country and many of our states around. So please take that angst that you have right now over what's going on, turn it into activism. We can build this into a movement, not just have a moment. I think that's the key for the next few weeks.
And share our values as we talk about our issues.
You know, I tell you, one of the big things we're doing now is we actually listen to people when we do doors as opposed to talk at people. They really do agree with us. Let's just have those conversations.
There you go. Congressman Pocan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Always great to have you with us. Congressman Pocan's website is Pocan, POCAN.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.